Someone had found, and we're not going to run it, Steve. We're going to show it. We're not going to run it. If you want to see it, you stay at church. Found a clip of him preaching. He was a young man. Somebody wanted to run that, but it ain't the time for that. It's preaching time. And would you make welcome my friend, Brother Dex Stinks? Would you do that? What an atmosphere to be in tonight. How many love the Lord? You glad you're here? Wow. I'm like Captain. We ought to just shout a while. I don't believe that's against anything. Do you? I'm going to shock all y'all. I was raised in a shouting Free Will Baptist Church. Let me say that one more time. I said I was raised in a shouting Free Will Baptist Church. I'm living, I don't hope nobody gets offended. Now I preach in most of our churches. And if the Holy Ghost showed up, we'd hand him a visitor packet. I lost my amenners right there. Quick to get you to quit on me. I'm telling you. It's a wonderful treat. I want my daughter Ashlyn and her fiance Evan to stand up tonight. That's my beautiful daughter. I'm not sure about Evan, but that's my beautiful. Good kids. I'm very proud of them. I won't take Brother Clark. I believe it'd be all right if I bragged on them just a minute. Ashlyn is. Grown so much in the Lord, and I'm so happy to watch her growth in the Lord. She's leading, singing, and worshiping, and Evan plays, and they're being used of God. And I don't believe there's any limits on what they can do for Christ. Amen. And I'm happy about that. I got a lot of good friends. I got Bud Walker, Brother Janot Johnston, and some of my heroes right there. I believe Clark said that earlier this week. Powerful men of God right there. And my good friend met not very long ago, a few years ago, that I just knitted with, Brother Tom and Sue Ballard. So honored that you guys could come. And I want to take this. I want to say this. I'm going to preach. I want to free everybody up. I want to free everybody up. I God gave me a little message. And I say a little message. You might not believe that. You'll say, boy, I know evangelists. You're going to drag that deal out. I've been studying all day, praying all day. And I told my wife, I said, well, there's a few sermons I'd really like to preach more than this. But I do believe I've heard from the Lord. And I want to obey the Lord. But I want to take just a moment and speak about my wife, Jess. So good to have her. I prayed for her, and God gave me her, and she's a helpmate. And I'll say this about her: she knew I was nervous, and I'm falling apart over there. She grabbed my hand two or three times and wept and prayed that God would calm my nerves. And I said, "Boy, I kind of like that." And I'll say this, at her wedding, our wedding, I was there, when they said, kiss the bride, if you were there, I tried not to really, no, that ain't true, tried to back away, but she came after me, and it's not really true, I got to get off that. That's really not true. But I'll say this about her. I mean this. Listen carefully. People gave me credit for this. And it wasn't me. She wanted at our wedding the gospel to be preached so that people that didn't know Christ could hear the gospel. Now, I don't know about you. That's a pretty big deal. sounds like an evangelist wife to me, don't it? And I know Brother Gerald, he's teased me, and I've teased right back. Son, I'm telling you, Brother Mike Cutsell, we've heard some of the greatest preaching this week that you'll ever hear. Not one man missed it. I mean, anointed of God. It's been on. It's been great. It's encouraged my soul. I'm going to leave this meeting sky high. And I'm flying to Indiana. I'm going to go over there and preach, fly back home. You pray for me. But I want to do this. If it'd be all right, now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we've heard the greatest singing this week you'll ever hear. But I want to obey the Lord and sing a song to my wife and sing to you. And I think it'll bless you. I hope it will. As the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing. They are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. Though the world cannot see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and there's shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy. These clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money. Oh, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world cannot see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and there's shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Give him a hand. He's worthy. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs. I'm in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read one little verse, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, one little verse. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't have a polished sermon. I don't even have a lengthy sermon. But I do have a message that I believe is straight from the Lord to give on this last night of camp meeting. I'm in Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm going to read one little verse, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I want everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. There are just two thoughts that I see out of that text. You say, man of God, what do you see in that text? Number one, I see a God that will stretch out His hand. A God that will reach to fallen, broken man. Then, I see the beauty of that text. God reaching out. God extending His hand. And then I see a sad ending in that text. It said, no man regarded. I see the disregard of man. Pastor Clark, if I could give you people anything, here's what I'd give you people. The first part of that verse, I find the grace of God. In the last part of that verse, I find the judgment of God. May I look you in the eye on the last night of camp meeting and tell you, you won't hear a lot of messages on judgment. You won't hear a lot of sermons on people having to face up and deal with what they're going to have to face up and deal with. And I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, got to help me tonight for the next 15, 20, 30 minutes. You got to give a little rain. Somebody nod your head. I want to preach tonight on this little thought. 11th hour, I want to brag on you. When you obeyed God and sang that first song, talked about God reaching out His hand, I leaned over to my wife and said, that's the name of my message. I said, it feels like God's setting this deal up. I want to preach tonight for a little while on God is reaching out His hand. God's reaching hand. God, I thank You tonight for the reading of the Word of Almighty God. I thank You for the high tide and the power and the presence and the anointing of God. I've opened Your divine book. I have read from heaven's divine library. Now, oh God, You know what You've given me. And God, I know my assignment. I know what You've spoken into my spirit. And God, I pray tonight, if there's a man in this room that's an alcoholic, a drug addict, if there's an adulterer or an adulteress, if there's a man, woman, boy or girl that is wrapped up, entangled in sin, oh God, I pray tonight that You would reach Your hand to that broken man, that broken woman, that You would move in this sanctuary. Oh God, would You anoint in the preaching? God, more importantly, God, when the altar call is given, I pray that the back door would seem a million miles away and the altar would look so near. And oh God, we'll give You praise and we'll give You glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of God. Brother Phil Shackelford, I see number one, God reaching His hand. Number two, I see no man regarded. In other words, no man paid it any attention. Man refused. Man didn't listen. Man wasn't interested in God reaching His hand to them. Would you agree with me? We're living in a generation that is unconcerned. We're living in a generation that is awful sinful, mixed up in the affairs of this life, looking to do their own thing, live their own lives, go their own way, and say, man of God, I don't need no preaching. I'll live like I want to live. I'll do what I want to do. But is anybody glad, even though man's rebellious, even though man is sinful, even though man walks contrary to the will of God, Brother Stacy Valines, I'm glad there's still a God in heaven that'll reach His hand to fallen man. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Derek, is that all you got? No, I got a little bit more. What blesses me is that out to me in this text is that we are in a society that is contrary, walking wrong, talking wrong, and living wrong. But Brother Dole Williamson, what blows my mind is the God that sits on His throne is actively, purposely, intentionally reaching out every day. Reaching out to you, whether it be a song on the radio, or He reaches out while you're driving down the road and you see a billboard, or you're driving down the road and you get a phone call and God begins to speak to you and deal with you. Would you agree with me? God is reaching His hand. And I thought about the picture. Brother Mike Hutzel, the picture of redemption. Brother Allen, the picture of redemption that is in this book. It is so unique. It is so wonderful that a God would allow His boy to come to this planet, walk up a hill, bleed and die, then lay in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. I said a borrowed tomb. You say, what does that mean? We only need it for 3 days. We're just going to borrow your tomb. And God made a redemption story so unique, so wonderful, so overwhelming. Would you look up here so I can look you in the eye? There's no man that could come up with a plan like that. There's no man that could deal and think about the splendor and the beauty. But I come by to preach to somebody. You're in this sanctuary and you're walking wrong. You're talking wrong. You're living wrong. But there's a God in heaven that's reaching out His hand to you. Hallelujah. Woo! You say, whoa! You say, man of God, you should not have double shouted. It's camp meeting. They're going to look at you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I can tell you God's extending His hand. God's reaching His hand. God's moving in your life. I see the grace of God. You say, Derek, what are you talking about? My good friend, probably one of the greatest preachers on the flesh the world has ever seen. You say, well, who is that? He's sitting on the second row. Brother Goish is a man that preaches on the flesh. Brother Goen, God has gifted you in that. And He's given you an anointing to do that. You're a unique man of God. And you just be you. No, I don't have to tell you, but just be you. And He's got a gift. But can I tell you, Brother Clark, as we continue to live in the flesh and serve our flesh and pamper our flesh, I am so glad that God is still willing to look beyond our faults, look beyond our hurts, look beyond our baggage, look beyond our mistakes, and reach out to fallen man. God's reaching hand. Do not miss the text. I have stretched out my hand. I went to a revival. Brother Janot, you'll remember it. Brother Tom Ballard, I was 16 years old. I went to Hickory Grove. I wasn't the guest preacher. Brother Allen, God told me to go to that revival. Another preacher was preaching. I drove, man, I'm on, everybody look up here. You can't find Hickory Grove from here. I mean, you gotta go north, you gotta go south, you gotta go east and west, and then back around the holler and over the bend, and then you're still not there. You come to a four-way stop, help me somebody, you make another right, you're going so far you don't know if you're coming or going, and you get back there. I drove in that night. I walked into the church, and if you know anything about me, Brother Stacy, I'm a front row Christian. Hey, I was 16 years old, and I wanted to sit on the front row, but the front row was taken. That don't happen much. Somebody shout amen. Brother Brad, I sat on the very back row. I walked in, I'll never forget it. Sister Sue, I thought of you when God gave me this story. Reminded me I was 16 years old. Everybody look up here. I was about a buck 50. Brother Jerry, I had hair, man. I could flip it in the wind. If anything I miss, it's this right here. But son, now I got a good look. I used to use shampoo. Now I use Mop and Glow. Everybody can't look this good, Doug. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now. You say, what happened? Brother Allen, I was on the back row. And God began to speak to me. God said, Derek, He said, I got you here on assignment. I said, what's my assignment? He said, I want you to pray. I said, well, God, I don't have any problem with that. I said, when Brother Janot asked me, I'll pray. He said, no, I don't want you to pray. There ain't nobody going to ask you to pray. He said, I'm asking you to pray. I said, hey, God, you mean to tell me you don't want me to listen to the singing? You don't want me to listen to the preaching? He said, no, son, I got you on the assignment. I want you to pray. I knelt back down there, Brother Cart. I was on about row 10, 11, whatever it was. I got down on my knees and I began to squall and pray. And I tried not to disrupt nobody. I prayed, Brother Mike, the whole duration of that service. It got to the altar call. The man of God said, well, it don't look like nobody's going to respond. And I'm still back there praying. Hey, about that time, the front row, the row in front of me, they was as lost as a goose in a windstorm. I'm praying, and my God, there's a group behind me. That altar, or that row of pews, it emptied out. And the row behind me emptied out. That night, about 5 or 6 people gave their heart to Jesus Christ. You say, man of God, how did that happen? God began to use a preacher to pray. And through that prayer, God was reaching out His hand to fallen man. God's reaching His hand. Now, do you believe God's reaching tonight? Do you believe God's extending tonight? Do you believe tonight if you're lost in here? I know one thing. The enemy's telling you, don't worry about it. Just keep living like you're living. You don't need that. That preacher's lost his mind. But God still reaches. God still extends His hand. And Brother Harold, I thought of this verse. Who is man that God is mindful? Who is man? He, the God of heaven, would be mindful. Brother Dole, it means to remember. It means to bring to mind. It means to think about us. Has it ever dawned on you? Every day you live, He's thinking about you. Every day you live, He's wondering how, thinking how, am I going to get a plan? How am I going to reach that man? Is it going to be a song? Is it going to be a sermon? What am I going to do to reach fallen man? But I'm glad to tell you, God's still reaching out His hand in this earth. You say, Brother Derek, are you getting anywhere? I'm moving a little. God is not willing. Brother Jerry Stadler, God is not willing to stay stationary. He's actively pursuing you. He's actively, you're not hearing me, He's on your trail. You're sure enough looking at me now. He's walking down the trail of your life. But Derek, I blew it. Derek, I did this. Derek, I did that. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care how sinful you are. There's a God in heaven that's extending out His hand to fallen man. Hallelujah! If you agree with that, would you shout amen? Brother Mike Hutzel, the Bible says in Hebrews we have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He sympathizes with us. He understands our frame that we're but dust. He knows our makeup. He knows our conduct, our character. And God is stretching out His hand. I wrote this down, Brother Brad, and I'll move. I've already went longer than I thought. Somebody grin or grunt. Brother Stacy, here it is. God is reaching out for everyone in this sanctuary. You say, but Derek, you're preaching this to the lost. Hey, husband, look up here. He's reaching His hand to you. Hey, wife, He's reaching His hand to you. Hey, teenager, He's reaching His hand to you. You say, but I'm saved. I'm glad to tell you tonight, whether you're saved or not, God still reaches His hand. God still reaches out to fallen man. And He's reaching to husbands and wives. And if you agree with that, shout a big amen. I asked the Lord, Brother Clark, I thought of you. I said, God, how do you reach your hand? He said, Derek, He said, I reach my hand through the Word of God. I reach through the Word of God. He said, I use the foolishness of preaching. I use the foolishness of preaching. Hey, I don't know if you know this. There's one guy in this church that hasn't preached this week. He's on the front. He's sitting up here on the stage. Brother Clark, can I tell you, I've heard you so many times. I remember when I was in this church with you. I remember one night that you had foam around your mouth. I'm not talking about halfway. I mean, it went on your top lip. It went on his bottom lip. Everybody look up here. He was sweating. He was spitting. He was kicking. So now I'll tell you, he's kicking. And I thought to myself, I'm his buddy. I love to hear him preach. And I'm watching him sweat. I'm watching him spit. I'm watching him kick. I'm watching that old man. He ain't old man. That young man of God. Sometimes you get messed up. I said, the young man of God, Sister Tamara, he was preaching. And you know what God was doing? God was taking his hand and reaching out and extending out and dealing out. Is anybody glad? God is reaching out his hand. Hallelujah. And you say, what does it mean? He's reaching his hand, not only through the Word, Brother Bud Walker, not only through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. How else, Brother Janot, does he reach man? He sends the sweet Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I heard Brother Allen say, his conviction, we need conviction. Is anybody even mentioning conviction? Everybody look up here so I can help you. You say, man of God, what's conviction? Is that when God makes folks get saved? No, baby. That's when God makes folks wish they were saved. Hallelujah. And God is sending conviction. And God is sending the Holy Ghost. And God is moving. And you know what happens when the preacher preaches? While the man of God is preaching, the Holy Ghost is whispering in your ear, that man's telling you the truth. He's preaching you the truth. I'm reaching to you. I love you. I died for you. I took my place for you. I paid the penalty for you. I shed my blood for you. Is anybody glad? On a Wednesday night a camp meeting, he's reaching out his hand. Hallelujah. Matt, I want to encourage you. Matt, you're the one that gave me the video. I'm going to get that video for one reason. Not to hear me preach. I want my kids to see me when I had hair. But I'm going to tell you, man, I preached 3 or 4 nights. How many nights did I preach? Did you tell me 3? 4. 4 sermons. It's your aunt, isn't it? His aunt, Sue Arnold, came the first night, second night, third night. You think I'm animated now? You should have saw me in 98, son. I wore some cut. You should have saw some of the suits I wore. I had one that was burnt orange. Now, hey, you look up here. Had a burnt orange vest. Burnt orange pants. A cream and burnt orange polka dot jacket. Son, you gotta be a man to wear that. Somebody nods your head. Brad, you better be comfortable in who you are, son. I'd walk in that house and give me the Bible. Let me rip. I'd get up, hey, Brother Bruce, I didn't have any sense. I didn't have a lick of sense, but God had His touch on me. And I'd stand up and preach that book and the power would fall and I didn't understand it, but sinners would come and bow their head and give their heart to Jesus. You say, what was happening? God was reaching out. God was extending out. God was extending His arm. I preached 4 nights in that little revival. Dawson Free Will Baptist Church. Jason Hutzel, preacher man. Sue Arnold. I watched her every night. I watched her wipe tears out of her face. She's just wiping them, Shaq. She's just wiping. The last night I preached on hell, I watched old Sue. I watched her. She got a hold of me and I led her, and I led her to the Lord. I walked her through, Brother Jerry, and told her how to be born again, and said, all you got to do is ask, believe, and confess. And sit in little Sue Arnold, beg God and ask God to save her. That was 98, 99. Today, she is a faithful member of Grace Free Will Baptist Church. She don't miss a night, boys. She comes Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Is anybody in the house with me? God extended His hand. Give me 5 minutes. I said, yeah, hallelujah. You say, well, this is going a little better than I thought. The wages of sin is death, Brother Tom Ballard. But the gift of God is eternal life. Blessed be the God. Here's what I wrote in my little notes. God is stretching out His hand. God is reaching out His hand. God is extending His hand. C.M. Lockridge said this. I love what he said. He said, I'm glad I got saved before payday. Oh, baby, I don't know about y'all. Y'all act all sophisticated and act like y'all never battled no sin. You're a bunch of liars in here. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all done wrong. But is anybody glad? God will reach out His hand. I thought of this. Lust is conceived. It bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. If we confess our sins, would you agree with the man of God? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Stacy, Brother Allen, I don't give two quick little stories. I read it the last week when God began to deal with me to preach on God's reaching hand. I wrote this down, the story. Is by Clarence McCartney. He tells of a Scottish shepherd. It is called The Shepherd's Call. And in this little story, McCartney tells of the Scottish shepherd that had a large fold of sheep. And he would take his daughter out there with him to tend to the sheep. Brother Clark, he would give that shepherd's call. And Brother Bob, when that shepherd would give the shepherd's call, them sheep would follow that shepherd. How many know we got Bible for that, Brother Kenny? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And in this story, McCartney goes on to tell that little daughter would watch her daddy tend to those sheep and call those sheep. As time went on, Brother Janot, that little girl, everybody look up here, that little girl got fascinated with town and city life. That little girl left home and moved to town. She's only said she'd only be there a little while. She left. She made the trip to the city. She said, Brother Stacy said, I'm just going to make the trip to the city and I'll be back, Dad. Nightlife and the bright lights of that town, that city life. She gets out there, Sister Avadale, and she lives a rebellious life. It so draws her in, she's hanging around the wrong kind of crowd. She's staying in wrong kind of places. She's staying in places that would be an embarrassment to her family. Very questionable indeed. She's been there and she's gone for some time. Brother Doyle is As McCartney writes about the shepherd, that old shepherd, that daddy, he tries to get his daughter. He calls out to his daughter and he tries to get her to come back home. He sends word to her, but to no avail. Her life was going down a roadway of destruction. Her life was going to be a failure. One day, Brother Janot, that shepherd, that broken-hearted daddy, Brother Jason, he packed his bags. And he went to the city and he walked on the cobblestone streets. He walked high, he walked low. He's looking everywhere. But Sister Tamara, he cannot find his daughter. He's looked everywhere. But he's got a bag with him. He pulls out that bag. And in that bag, there were two things. He had a shepherd's staff. And he had shepherd's clothes. He put them shepherd clothes on, picked up that shepherd's staff. He's walking in the societal slums. He's in the weak, worst part of town. And as he walks down that cobblestone street, he does something very unusual. He begins to call sheep. And he calls them sheep. And when he gets to her location, as he's calling them sheep, she's in the back in some place. There's no telling, Pastor, what she was doing. But she heard a familiar voice that she had heard so many times before. And when she heard the voice, she ran out of that place. And she ran out and she hugged her daddy. And here's what her daddy did. Her daddy said, "I love you, baby. I love you." And here's how the story ends. That daddy won her back and brought her back to decency and brought her back to the kingdom. Hey, can I tell you, there's another shepherd. That's an old shepherd. That's a story of a shepherd. But can I tell you tonight of a shepherd, the shepherd of your soul. He left the glory world and came to this world. He was all God and all man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and the truth. And he's walking down and he's calling out for sheep. He's calling out for broken lives and ruined lives. You say, "Man of God, you don't know where I've been. Man of God, you don't know what I've done." Yeah, but there's a shepherd tonight that can love you back to decency. There's a shepherd tonight that can love you back to the kingdom and change your life forever. Woo! If you agree with that, shout amen. You say, "Man of God, are you getting anywhere?" Yeah. He put on the robe of flesh and came to this planet. Pastor Clark, they ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They didn't understand him. They underestimated him. They thought he was simply a lowly Galilean. They thought, Brad, he was nothing more than a carpenter's son. But baby, he wasn't just a shepherd. He was God's only begotten Son, sent here for redemption story. You say, "Do you think He can reach me? There's not a man in here. There's not a lady in here that He can't reach. There's not a lady or a man He can't change." I hear God saying, "I'm stretching out my hand." You say, "But Derek, I'm in drugs." I hear God say, "But I'm stretching out my hand." "Derek, I'm in adultery." "I'm stretching out my hand." "But Derek, I'm in fornication." "I'm stretching out my hand." "Derek, I'm in blatant rebellion." I hear God say, "But I'm stretching out my hand." If you agree with me, shout amen. Give me 10 minutes. You say, "Brother Derek, you got anything?" Yeah. Look with me. Go real quick. Go to Jeremiah. If you tell folks you're real quick, they'll feel better. I'm feeling better. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. I'll read this in verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Brother Jerry, then he said, "Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Keep that on the screen. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Do you know what that means, Pastor Clark? It means with not only an everlasting, it means a perpetual. It means a constant love. Hallelujah. No greater love than this for a man to lay down his life for his friends. God is reaching out His hand. Sister Tamara, I'll give you this, and then I'll tell one story, and I'll wrap it up. I asked the Lord, I was reading, I thought of Grant in the 11th hour. He talked about trusting the Lord, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But I thought of this, and it's a man, he said he's from, I guess he's from Birmingham, is that correct? think he said that. Grant, you from Birmingham? Yeah. Yes, there he is. If he wasn't in here, I was going to go get you. Tell you, God's reaching out His hand. Sometimes that's just inescapable right there. When singing group, hey, but I don't know if this happens to you on the road. I preach every night of my life. And you know what gets on my nerves? Brother Allen had a pet peeve. I've got one. When singers don't stay in when the preaching, preaching. Hey, baby, look up here. You're not too good. You need some help. Because I've been around your crew. And then some of y'all need really, really a lot of help. That's all I'm going to say right there. But y'all sit up here and act like I don't know what I'm talking about. They need some help. Said they leave the sanctuary. And here's what I heard one of them say. Brother Clark, one of them said this. I don't do preaching. Well, I said, you ain't going to be singing where I'm a preaching. Because I don't want you near me. Because you need you some preaching. Hold up. January 2014 in Birmingham, Alabama. Brother Jerry, it was January of 2014. Birmingham, Alabama. Everybody look over here. A snowstorm hit. Now I'm going to tell you something about Birmingham, Alabama. They don't know how to deal with snowstorms. They don't have any salt. Trucks, they don't have any plows. Hey, look up here. Snow comes, you might as well stay in your house if you live in Birmingham, Alabama. Because them folk will kill you. They will kill you. You say, you act like you know. I travel, son. I'm a traveling evangelist. Now, you want to tell me some of the greatest moves of my life? I was in traffic. You talk about learning how to get a hold of God. Going through downtown Atlanta, you're going 85, 90 miles an hour. You say, why'd you do that? Because if you don't do it, they'll kill you. And then you got to get on that far right lane and you're sitting there, Brother Jason. You're thinking to yourself. And you just hope you got enough fuel in the tank. And you just put your right foot as far as it'll go down. I think to myself, God's reaching. He's reaching. God help me in this deal. Hey, here it is. I got to go. Hey, it was 2014. A snowstorm hit. Here's what happened. A man, a neurosurgeon, had got a call. They told him, Brother Stacy, to come to the hospital. There's a man that had a brain aneurysm and needed a surgery. And he needed it right there. And he needed to come. His vital signs are getting weaker. Dr. Zinro made his way toward the medical facility. Doug was on his way to the medical facility. He got near town and traffic is stopped. Dr. Zinro did something that made national news. Brother Gerald, he got out of his car, locked it, and began to walk to the hospital. He walked 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, 4, 5, 6 miles. He walked in to the hospital, walked to the man's room, done brain surgery, and the man lived. Brother Jerry, they pulled Dr. Zinro aside. They said, Doctor, why would you walk 6 miles? Why would you in a snowstorm get out of your car and walk 6 miles? Here's what he said. I was that man's only hope. And on my watch, I was not going to let it happen. God looked at his son and said, I got a plan for you. You're the only hope. It didn't just occur to God. Before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. God allowed His boy to leave the glory world and come to this world. Bud Walker, He was our only hope. He was the only way we could be reached. Was for God to come. If you agree, shout amen. And I won't tell you what I believe. Brother Mike Hustle, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus Christ, hey, one God, one mediator, one hope, one cure, one answer. The only one that can reach you. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations and the ends of the earth to see the salvation of our God. You say, what is that? That's God flexing His muscle. That's God reaching the man. Is anybody glad? God can reach fallen man. I went a long way and I finally got to destination. Second point. We got one amener in the house. I appreciated it. You think I'm going to keep preaching? I'm more well. Let me give you this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you tonight, Brother Dole, God allowed His Son to hang on a tree and bleed and die. And religious folks, He walked through unbelief. He walked through doubt. He walked through ridicule and they made fun of Him. But the whole time while Jesus was bleeding and Jesus was dying, that was God reaching you. That was God extending His arm to you. That was God stretching out for you. Is anybody glad He loves you enough to stretch out for all mankind? Johnny Cash, I don't always make a habit of using him in a sermon. But we're going to tonight. Johnny Cash wrote a very familiar tune. You'll probably remember it. I won't sing it. We done our singing. Ain't no need in trying that twice. Dole, I really didn't need that. Boy, here's the song. I won't sing it once. My soul was astray. You ain't hearing me. From the heavenly way. I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached way down for me. Hear me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached way down for me, I was near to despair when He came to me there. And He showed me that I could go free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete when He reached down His hand for me. Brother Harold, how my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice and the tempest to Him I can flee. There to lean on His arms, safe and secure from all harm when He reached down His hand for me. But I preached all about the grace of God. Go back to Proverbs 1, verse 24. He said, I have stretched out my hand. Then He says, no man regarded. It is the disregard of God's invitation. Brother Allen, it means to not listen, to not heed, to pay it no attention. I thought about this today, and I don't know who I'm preaching to, but have you ever thought about what all God's done this week to try to reach you? He said some of the greatest things you'll ever hear. You've heard some of the greatest preaching you're ever going to hear. And God said, you know what? I love you more than just great singing and great preaching. I'm going to send my Holy Ghost, the power of God, and I'm going to create an atmosphere that a blind dog could find an altar call in. And any old boy, any old girl could recognize their loss and need of a Savior. What is it going to take? Are you going to have to hear, you too late? You waited too late. You just waited too late. If you don't know Christ tonight, this is your opportunity to know Jesus. I close with this story. I said I would and I will. I close. I got a good friend named Brad Ledbetter. Everybody look up here. I'm going to be brief. Brad Ledbetter, Brother Clark for 25 years. Every morning of Brad's life, every day at noon and every evening, he carried a big old deal of dope. He had a pipe and he'd smoke it. Him and his wife were struggling a little. Not going to get a divorce. How many know when you're in sin, your home's in trouble already? Shout amen. And they're in sin and they're getting on each other's nerves and they're battling and they're well, finally, as the story was told and reminded to me, his precious wife, Debbie, went to church with them three kids of Brad and Debbie. Brad and Debbie had three beautiful children, and Debbie walked an aisle at the church that Brad's family were preaching in and singing in. Debbie come home and told Brad, I got saved. God finally got a hold of me, Brad, and I'm not drinking, and I've laid down my lifestyle, and I've given my life to Christ. And Brad paid her no mind, and Brad continued morning, noon, and night, and every evening to continue to smoke that dope and do his own thing. And finally, one morning, he got up real early, and he told me, he said, Derek, I took a big old pack of that stuff. He said, I filled my pipe. And he said, I'm sitting at the job site. Brother Jerry, here's what he said. I'm sitting at the job site. He said, I'm looking around. He said, because if I know my buddies get there, they want some dope. He said, so I try to get there early enough so I don't have to share. That's what he said, Jason. He said, I'm sitting there, got it in the pipe, and I'm fixing to light it. He said, but I don't know why I did this. But he said, God had been dealing with me and speaking to me. He said, I don't know. He said, Derek, I put my eyes in the rearview mirror. And he said, I saw a show. He said, I seen it. It's like God showed me my whole last 25 years. I saw this disappointment, this hurt, this pain. And I laid down my pipe and I said, God, Brett said, I said, God, I can't live for you. God, I don't know how to live for you. I'm hooked on this dope and I don't know how to lay it down. And God said, Brad, you can trust me. Brad, I sent my son for you. I love you. I'm reaching for you. I'm extending my arm to you. Brad said, I don't understand. He said, I took that bag of dope. He said, I walked into the dumpster. And he said, I threw my dope away. He said, I walked back. And he said, by now, he said, one of my buddies saw me throw the dope away. And they said, Bad Brad, you'll be back in that dumpster picking that dope up. He said, I don't think so. He went in that house. He began to do some cabinet work. And here's what he said to the Stacy. He said, God, I've lived a miserable life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've had my feel of this brokenness, this hurt, this pain, this agony. The dope isn't feeling it. The dope isn't giving me the answer, getting me the relief. He said, God, would you really do you really love me? God, can you really change me? And God said, Brad, you can trust me. Brad said, I knelt down in front of that cabinet And I said, God, I don't even know how to pray. My family's in church. My family sings. They preach. But I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But God, would you save Brad Ledbetter? God, would you change Brad Ledbetter? He said, Derek, I can't explain it. He said, but God walked into that room and God wrapped His arms around me and God extended to me. He said, I called my wife and I said, Debbie, I'm sick and tired. She said, Brad, we're all sick and tired. He said, no, baby, I threw my dope away. And I'm not going back. I've tried everything but God. I'm going to give God a chance. Here's what he said, Brother Clark. Yes, sir. Here's what he said. He said, baby, don't tell Dad. He said, because all the Ledbetters have come around me. And he said, I don't know if this is going to last or not. He got home that evening. And they said, you got to call Granny. You got to go see Granny. And so Brad said, Debbie, get the kids. We're going to go see Granny. They drove over there to Granny's house. Brad said this to me. He said, when we drove up, there were so many Ledbetters that were already there waiting on me. They were waiting on me. He said, Derek, he said, that's been 20-something years ago. He said, I've never had an urge. I've never had a desire. I've never picked it up. He said, you hear me? He said, God reached down to me. God salvaged me. God changed me. Is anybody glad? God can save your life. Stand all over the room.